at this point, it's, you know, the third time. Sorry. And that's when, like, I'm not saying I felt invincible through all the other stuff. But that third time, I said, man, you know.
This just may be my lot.
Yeah. This is it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Hayden, Alabama podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
And I'm Chase.
We have a challenge today. If you've watched our show before, usually it's really light, humorous, funny, and that's a lot of fun. You know, we have a blast doing that. But today, the challenge is we've got a little bit more serious content. This is Chase. Chase is my brother-in-law and a miracle. And when I say that, I don't use the word lightly. And so today's really special in a lot of ways. So we want to do really well and showcase this story that he has because I think it'll bless you. I mean, I really do. And before we get started, I do want to say one thing. You know, in no way today are we representing that Chase's story is going to be your story. We're not representing that what he has overcome that you'll hear about, that you will overcome. Bottom line, this is Chase's story. And so that's what we have today. So just sit back and get ready to, I'm going to say, be blown away, because that's what this story has done to my life. So Chase, take me to Auburn.
All right. So I was at Auburn majoring in building science. I guess that was in 07, 2007. And it was November, Thanksgiving. I came home, see my family, you know, do the whole Thanksgiving thing, and went to my in-laws or future in-laws at the time. And, my sister-in-law said, "Hey, what's going on with your eye?" And I looked in the mirror and I got to looking and nothing, you know. She's like, it looks a little bulging out. Something's wrong. So I just kind of brushed it off and went home to my parents. And actually, my sister said something about it. She's like, "Hey, something's going on with your eye." Said, "Well, what do you mean?" You know, Maggie, my sister-in-law, said something about it as well. She said, "It's bulging out." And so I just kind of brushed it off. Went back to Auburn. Then I started noticing it. Started noticing some vision changes. Bad headaches. Just terrible headaches where I would just have to, like, lock myself in the dark. So I started seeing some eye doctors, and they kept saying, "Hey, it's a sty. Just put a boiled egg on it, something hot, something warm, bring that inflammation out." And so I did. That went on for like 3 weeks, and I saw, I think it was 3 optometrists that all kind of said the same thing. And it was sometime in December, maybe mid-December. I called my mom and I said, "Hey, I can't even look at blueprints because I was majoring in building science. I can't focus. I can't do anything. Something's bad wrong." So I went to an ophthalmologist there in Auburn, and they did a MRI. And in that MRI, it showed there was a mass behind my left orbit. And they sent me to Callahan Eye Foundation and saw a very, very well-known, great doctor there who specializes in this kind of stuff. And we went through the whole ordeal. You know, he said it's a benign hemangioma, 99% sure, but, you know, it could be lymphoma, could be this. And he was like, but 99% sure it's hemangioma. We'll go in there and we'll cut it out and you'll be back on your way. So we scheduled the surgery. Scheduled the surgery like within a week, I think he worked me in. And go into the surgery, feeling all good. And wasn't till I woke up, like, I don't know if any of y'all had surgery before. I'm sure you have. You wake up in recovery, right? And I'll never forget this. I woke up in recovery, and it was like a, it's almost like a different recovery room. But something told me whenever I woke up, something in my heart, something wasn't right. And at that point, I knew something bad was wrong.
We're in a different place than where we started.
Right. And you know, I hadn't talked to anybody. It was just a God thing that told me something's not right. And so the nurse came over there whenever I woke up and I said, "Hey, you know, what's going on?" And she's like, "It's okay, honey, you're in recovery." And I said, "Well, how bad is it?" And she's like, "I'll let the doctor come by and talk to you," mm-hmm. you know. And at that point, I knew something wasn't right. And so I kind of went back to sleep on and off and recovery. And doctor came in there and told me I was wrong. He said, "You're going to get through this. But it's a rare childhood cancer that you have, and it's called embryonal rhabdomyosarcoma. Sorry, it's a lot to say.
That's a lot.
Embryonal meaning localized. So that was a good thing. They thought, you know, it's localized in that one spot. And so from there, it was, you know, on to the races. They rolled me into a room and I got to see. Sorry.
It's all right, bye-bye. It's all right.
Got to see my parents, my girlfriend, entire family. And, how they were feeling, I don't know, you know, but I've always been a positive person. And, you know, I was making light of the situation the best I could. But I knew it was going to be a long road. So from that, went on to started chemo, like, that was January 24th of 2008 that I was diagnosed. And we started chemo, port placement, all that by 1st of February. I mean, it was quick. And they, you know, I had great doctors. They laid out this timeline for me. And I was on a very strict protocol of what I was going to be taking chemo wise. And it was going to be 6 months of chemo and then 6 weeks of radiation. And so off to the races, here we are. I'm, you know, just kind of overwhelmed with all this stuff being hit me at one time. It just, you know, your world just changes.
And how old were we?
In one instance, I was 21 years old. 21. Sorry, that was a big.
That's all right.
Yeah, keep in mind, you know, 21 years old, I was in my prime.
Absolutely.
You know, me and Philip were working out.
Going hunting.
Going hunting, doing, you know.
Went to Talladega, did some karaoke on a flatbed trailer.
We did do that. We did do that. That's one thing I'll never forget. Sorry I put you up to that, but we rocked it.
The karaoke was fine, as your song selection was terrible.
Yeah.
He stopped loving her today. We do not sing that well.
I don't know why I picked that one, but
George sang it well.
We didn't. Yeah, should have been there.
Go ahead. Give us a...
No. Okay. We good. We'll get back on track.
Back on track. So, yeah, 21, in my prime, college, best years of your life, right?
Yeah.
And here I am going through chemo. So we start the chemo process, and it was rough. It was bad. I fought sickness, and every time I would get chemo, I mean, you can contest to that. I was sick for days after, the treatments. I'd be admitted into the hospital for 3 to 5 days, and then I'd get to go home. Then my blood counts would bottom, and I would have to be doing shots to increase my blood counts to get them back up. And the whole time I'm doing that, whenever I would do those shots and my blood counts would come back up, I would try to, instead of sit there, I'd try to be active. I'm a really active person, mm-hmm. I'm outdoors guy. And so just me getting out and forcing myself to get up and I think helped a lot during the process. Had great friends that would come by and get me out of there, take me fishing, bait my hook, take the fish off. So I'm doing chemo. I get through about 3 months of chemo, and then we hit radiation. And that's something that I'll never forget. Going in there, not really knowing what to expect, since it's on my face right here. They took me in this room, and they coached me through it. They said, hey, we're going to – it's like this mesh-looking white stuff. They said, hey, we're going to soak this in water or whatever, and then we're going to put it over your face. And I'm scared to death. I'm like, how am I going to breathe? And
good question.
Yeah. And so they said, don't worry about that. As soon as we put it over your face, we'll cut a mouth hole and some nose holes, because it's going to conform to mm-hmm. my face. That's going to be my face shield or whatever mm-hmm. they called it. I was like, okay. So they get this mesh, and they lay me on a table, and they put it on me, and it conforms to my face. And they did what they said. They went in there and cut the mouth hole, cut the nose hole so I could breathe. So during the radiation, this mask hardens. They put it on whenever you lay down on the table, and they bolt you in to the table with this mask on. So the radiation, they just shoot a bunch of beams, mm-hmm. and it's got to be in a precise location, so you cannot move. So that little mask they made for me was, to lock me in so they could hone in on the tumor itself. Because I didn't mention, they did not get all the tumor whenever they went in there, because the doctor, once he cut into it, it went everywhere. And it was not, what he thought it was. They do the radiation. I have to do 6 weeks of that. And keep in mind, I'm doing chemo and radiation, and part of the chemo protocol, well, to keep me from getting sick and to keep me eating, they gave me steroids. And so my face was like so big by the end of those treatments, whenever they locked me in that face mask, I would come out and I would have like dots all over my face.
Outgrowing your mask.
Yeah, I was outgrowing my mask. So I finished the radiation and the chemo and cancer free. I was cancer free at that point. We did scans. I was good to go. So I go back to Auburn. 3 months later, you know, I'm going to Auburn taking classes. I'm stuck in I'm put into another class because I've lost 6 months. So I get put into another class and I have to make all new friends, which was really cool during this process because I've got all kinds of different friends and from everywhere. Love every one of them. 3 months into it, I go back to get scans again. Only to find out that it had grown and it had come back and we were going to have to do it all over again. That was tough because I fought through all that and I go back and I'm like, yeah, you know, I got my life back.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are. And it hits you again.
Emotionally draining.
Yes. Yeah. To say the least, it was tough.
How did you feel when you got the reports that scan?
I was a little numb, to be honest with you, sitting there with the doctor telling me that. My mom was with me, and, she was crying, and I cried, but I just said, hey, I'm going to get through it, you know.
Wow. Yeah.
Here we go. We'll just go through it again. And it wasn't until after I walked out of the doctor's office that it hit me,
yeah.
You know. All my friends were calling. They knew I went to get scans. And they're like, hey, you know, how'd it go? And then that's whenever I have to break it to them. And be honest with you, I couldn't even get through the conversations with them, especially, Lizzie, my girlfriend at the time, which is now my wife. We'll get there. But I just couldn't even.
I'll never forget even talk. Your sister, my wife, calling me.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. She called me. She's just crying. And I think my emotion was just, I think I was just mad.
Yeah.
I think I was just mad about it, you know, because of how I didn't go through it, but I was, you know, watched you go through it. And I thought, and you went through so much and then here we are. But, so you probably took it better than I did, big guy. But go ahead.
Well, no, I'm not saying I took it good. In those situations, you always ask, especially me, I left a big part out. So since it was a childhood cancer, they admitted me to a children's hospital. I went to UAB Children's. And because being 21 years old, there's not many 21-year-old patients at a children's hospital. But this is what they specialized in, and this is where I needed to be. And the hardest thing, honestly, about going everything I've been through is seeing these kids that don't have a care in the world and they're sick. Mm-hmm. You know, they're fighting the same thing I'm going through. And they're just happy-go-lucky, smiling, and, you know,
yeah.
Some of them are sick. But I'm sitting there thinking, like, why these little kids? And that helped me more than anything.
Sure.
Just seeing these little kids. If these little kids can do it, I know I can get through it. and maybe I can mentor some of these kids. And I made a lot of, you know, 21-year-old guy, I made a lot of 9, 10, 11-year-old old friends, you know, and I still keep up with some of them today that are thriving and doing well, that beat cancer. And then and a lot that, you know, didn't make
it. Why do you, did you ever come to a conclusion as to what, how they were able to be in that mindset? Maybe they didn't understand the seriousness of it, or do you think it's more along the lines that God just gives them some grace and just grants them that because of the seriousness of it?
I think it's a little bit of both, a little bit of both. But I would say God's grace gets them through it.
Sure.
I know that's what, that's why I'm here today talking to y'all.
Amen.
It's not because of me. It's because of his grace that I'm here.
Sure.
You know, now why I got what I got, nobody will ever know, you know. One day we'll know. But
how long was the second round of treatment? My mind's a little foggy because you had 6 months for your first round. Your second round,
I know,
was
we're
longer.
Jumping here. Sorry. So the second round of chemo was a year. I had to go through a year of it. It was man, I think it was 6 different chemos that I was on. Very extensive, a lot harder than the first little 6 months.
And that's basically their thought. If, hey, 6 months didn't do it, we got to get you a year's worth and do it more aggressively than we did the first time.
Yeah. And the whole time, keep in mind, we're trying to preserve my eye. And I'm sure y'all have noticed here that I have a prosthetic eye. We'll get there. But the whole time, we're trying to preserve my eye. Granted, I've already had all the radiation that I could get, the maximum amount. So I don't have to do any more radiation at this point that I'm aware of. One of the doctors said, hey, you know, the tumor is so close to your brain, because it was sitting behind my left orbit, if you can just imagine behind your eye. He said, it's so close to the brain, I think we can do what they call gamma knife radiation. And gamma knife radiation's radiation they give brain tumor patients. I go in there not knowing what to expect again, and it's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me... They said, we're going to bolt this contraption to your head. I said, bolt it to my head with screws. And I looked at them and I was like, no. No.
No, thank you.
And they said, well, no, it's sounds a lot. It looks a lot worse than it is. You won't feel a thing. I was like, okay. So, yeah. I'm in. Let's go. Let's get it done. Let's go. Let's roll with it. And I think they gave me some kind of medicine to kind of, you know, zonk me out a little bit before they ran these bolts in my head. So they ran 2 bolts here and 2 bolts in the back, and I'm sitting with this contraption on my head, ready to get this radiation. So take me back there, and they lock me in this machine and put a... You know, these old women that go and get their perms done, mm-hmm. you know, like a little dome.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can imagine that, I'm sitting in a chair, you know, like a hospital looking chair, and they run this dome thing over my head that looks like what my, you know, grandmother used
getting
to get
a perm.
With. Yeah, I'm getting a perm. Right.
Right.
And this little dome thing had, I don't know how many different rays of radiation coming through. It had a bunch of little holes in it. I want to say it was like over 300 little holes, and they could really hone in on that spot and, you know, attack that tumor. And that's what they did. And it's just a one-time thing. So I just had to go through it one time, continued the chemo. I'm all the way into 2009 now. And I finish chemo. Okay.
12 months.
12 months of chemo. Get scans. Everything is good, you know. And it was kind of like, I guess, a celebration of life. Like,
I'm going to make it.
I'm going to make it. I'm going to get married. Here I go, you know. So go get a ring and actually use Madeline Grace. I don't know if y'all know Madeline Grace, but Madeline Grace was his firstborn, my first niece. So we got Madeline Grace and Barrett, and we do this big. Lizzie was shocked, I know.
Oh, yeah.
But we used the kids because we love the kids, you know. We used the kids, and one of them had "Will You" written on a little onesie. And the other one had "Marry Me" written on a onesie. And so here I am. She turns around and, like, I'm just in the yard, and she turns around and sees the kids there, the babies at the time, wearing this little onesie that says, "Will you marry me?" And it just kind of hits her. And then I'm on one knee and I ask her to marry me. Anyhow, that was big. And so now we're engaged. I'm back feeling good. Go back to Auburn. So I took a year off.
Back to where it started.
Delved right back into it. And once again, I go for scans.
Just 3 month scans?
3 month scans. And I had relapsed again. So at this point, it's, you know, the third time. Sorry. And that's when, like, I'm not saying I felt invincible through all the other stuff. But that third time, I said, man, you know,
this just may be my lot.
Yeah. This is it. You know, I've had so much chemo, so much radiation. What are we going to do?
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not, but just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services, or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
Meet with the doctors and they say, last resort, we're going in, we're removing everything in your orbit. They're doing a total, what's it called? Exoneration.
Exoneration. Orbital exoneration.
Total orbital exoneration. And at that point, you know, I'm going to lose my eye. But I was already losing it from all the radiation that I've been through. I was already losing it because of the, they call it demacular degeneration from all the chemo. And, or not the chemo, but the radiation. Mm-hmm. I was actually having to get shots in my eyeball to help with the eyesight, just to prolong it. I was eventually going to go blind. So this just, you know, it happened sooner than later. And I didn't really have time to think about, you know, what I was going to look like. Didn't care. I didn't care. Mm-hmm. I just wanted.
Be done.
I wanted to be done with it. I wanted it out. I'm not saying, like, I just wanted it out. I'm not saying I wanted my life to end or anything like that. I just wanted to be done with it because this, you know,
been a long time.
We're on,
yeah, if it means losing an eye and I can get through this, then that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lose my eye and we're going to get through this.
Oh, yeah. You just do what you have to do.
Remind me, at that point that they told you, look, we've done all the chemo we can do. We've done all the radiation we could do. Surgery is your only option. Did they tell you what doctor was going to do it at that point? Or did they just say we were going to set you up?
No, actually, I think it was you, Phil.
Well, I still remember the day vividly. I remember I can take you in UAB hospital on the 7th floor where the conversation happened. I think Bethany called me and told me that, look, we're back, remission, or not remission, but recurrence. No more chemo. It's surgery's the only option. And we're going to call this Dr. C because I don't want to say his name. I don't know if he'd want his name said. Right. We're going to call him Dr. C. Renowned, unbelievable surgeon.
Absolutely.
That I'm talking, they're, you know, a surgeon, some surgeons are great with their hands, but some surgeons just are great with their hands and great with their heart.
Yeah.
And I had watched him, being in surgery with him, I'd watched him go back and get a pathology mid-surgery that was questionable. He'd say, no, I'm going further. If you have any question, we're not stopping. We're going to go further. And I watched him do that time and time again in surgery. And when you told me that you needed surgery, he was the only person. I mean, that's what came to my mind, Dr. C. It just so happens on that day that Bethany called me that he was operating, and I went and I found him. And I basically ran him down in the hallway as he was trying to leave one OR going to the other. And I said, will you talk to me for just a minute? And he said, sure, you know, I'll talk to you. And I told him, I said, look, I need you to save my brother-in-law's life. And he said, what's, you know, I mean, I'm sure he didn't appreciate, you know, being approached like that. It's kind of heavy.
Yeah.
But he said, well, what, just tell me what's going on. And I gave him, you know, rhabdo, chemo, radiation. This is the last chance. I said, will you operate on my brother-in-law? And he said, tell him to call my office. And that's when, I think that's when they put that all together.
Yeah.
So take us from
great. Well, yeah, that's how. I mean, it's a small world, you know, how you knew this guy, and this guy literally saved my life, this surgeon, along with some others. So Dr. C goes in there, we meet, he's, you know, he tells me what he's going to do, and he said, I don't know what you're going to look like when you get up or when you wake up. He said, I won't know that until I get in there. And I said, I don't care. I said, I just want you to
get it.
Every bit of it that you can. I said, that's it. What I look like is fine. We'll deal with that later. So anyhow, he goes in there and he cuts everything out. It had spread into my ethmoid sinus cavity. They removed a lot of my ethmoid sinus. So I wake up in the recovery room, still not knowing, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know until you look in the mirror, right?
Yeah.
But anyhow, I'm laid over in the recovery room, and I tell the recovery nurse back there, I said, hey, I've got something in my throat, like dangling in my throat. She said, oh, no, honey, that's just where the tube was. What do they stick in you? Like a breathing,
breathing
like a
tube.
Little breathing tube or something. That's just where the breathing tube scratch your throat. He gave me a shot of morphine or something, and I went back out, woke back up. I said, hey, something's in my throat. And by at this point, like, I've been through a lot of surgeries. Like, I left a lot of the surgeries, like minor surgeries, out. You know, I had lymph node dissections throughout the whole process. So I wake up in recovery, and I tell her that. And so the third time, like, she comes over there, and she's going to give me some more morphine to put me out. I sat up in the bed, and I said, there's something in my throat. And she's like, no, honey. And I said, I'm fixed to show you. And so I coughed up what was in my throat, and it was part of the gauze that they had packed in my eye. So they had packed, so if you can imagine like your eye socket, just an open hole, they had packed that gauze in there to stop the breathing. Well, they had removed the ethmoid and all that. And so like inside this socket, of course, I didn't know it then, but I know it now because I can look at it and see, but you can see all the way, you know, down my throat. It's amazing what you can see. But anyhow, this gauze comes out and it's dangling out of my throat and still in my eye, and just, this is kind of gross, but you know, blood's coming out of my mouth. And I looked at the lady and I said, I told you, you know. And man, it was like they hit some kind of, I don't know, evacuation button or emergency button. And
back in you go.
Yeah. Well, no, they just all came swarming. Oh. I mean, doctors out of, like, they could have been operating on people. They came running over there. You know, it was like 20 or 30 of them. And they get up in there and they snip this thing out and they put me back to sleep. And all's well, right? So I go home to my parents' house. My sister, Bethany, which is Philip's wife. We have, me and my sister have this bond, like, I can't really explain it, but she's always looked after me. And take it up for me, and just, man, I've always been there,
mm-hmm.
you know, throughout this whole thing. My family was always there for me. My friends, always there for me, and just really helped me through everything. Without them and the good Lord, you know, I wouldn't be here.
Sure.
You know, I could have just, it would have been very easy to lay there, take this chemo and just be like, I don't want to do anything. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to lay here and waste away. But
if you're in the market for a new house, I want to tell you about our latest sponsor, Vantage Plus. So they're general contractors. They specialize in new home construction, but also they do some dirt moving work. So clearing land, making roads. Y'all check them out. We'll make sure that we link the website and the phone number in the show notes.
My sister stayed with me at my parents whenever I came home from getting my eye out. I'll never forget. I was like, sat up in the bed hallucinating, man. I was seeing things and kind of talking crazy. And this was the second day after surgery. So I'm on day two after getting my eye removed. Still got the gauze in there, you know, I don't know what it looks like because it's just kind of packed with gauze and taped, and I can't see. So anyhow, I'm hallucinating, kind of saying some weird things, and my sister comes in there and she says, what's wrong? I said, I'm dying. I said, I'm seeing stuff, I'm talking, get me to the hospital. So they take me to the hospital, and I tell the doctor, I'm like, something's not right. You know, can't eat, can't drink, can't do anything. And so they admitted me into the hospital. At that point, they didn't know what was going on with me. So that's when the crazy story really begins. So I'm in the hospital, still not eating or drinking. I'm on day like three. My hands have turned red. My feet have turned red. And then I guess it was like day four or five, they start peeling my hands, feet, everything. All my skin starts peeling off. Still not eating or drinking. And I'm just kind of laying there, you know,
lifeless. No answers. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Just lifeless. And the doctors don't know what's wrong with me. I went in there for a minor surgery, and I came out, and here I am. So all the residents are in there, infectious disease is in there, you know, just coming in there trying to figure out what's going on with me. And Dr. C is in there every day checking on me, along with some other doctors that had you know, done the surgery, and they just didn't have any answers. They didn't know what to do. And so at that time, I developed like thrush in my in my throat. They were trying to get me to drink Ensure. I just couldn't. I went 14 days.
Wow.
14 days without eating, without drinking. Luckily, they had me on IV and giving me fluids. But I was laying there lifeless, really. And no answers to this day as to, you know, what it was. But I remember looking at my mom and I was like, just, I don't want a feeding tube, because that's what they were about to do. Yeah. You know, I hear feeding tube and I'm like, yeah, I was coherent enough to know like, hey, I'm going to try to choke something down or figure this out, you know? And I remember my oncology doctor, he would, they would prescribe some kind of nutrient bag. My mom called my oncologist and said, hey, what about these nutrient bags? He said, yeah, let's try. And so they accessed my port, stuck that nutrient bag in me about, I don't know, supper time, you know, yeah. It's time to eat. About 5 o'clock, and I dozed off and woke up in the middle of the night, y'all.
A brand new
and
man.
I was back. I was back, man. woke up, looked at my mom. She was asleep. Said, man, I'm going to get up and go to the bathroom. I hadn't been able to get up and go to the bathroom by myself. Said, I'm going to get up and go. And so I get up. And I'm trying to get shimmied out of that bed, you know, and my mom wakes up and she's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to go to the bathroom. She said, well, let me help you. I said, I got it. So I stood up and I thought I had it, but like, I they made me get out of the bed, but I couldn't really walk and stuff real well, because I dwindled down to like nothing. I was 190-pound guy down to 140, maybe one high 130s. And so she helps me to the bathroom, and I get back in the bed, and I'm like, I'm good. I think we're going to make it through it, you know? And from that point on, that was like the turning point. I was in a, not a dark place, but yeah, like it was, I thought I was going to die. I really did. And at that point, I knew if I didn't die then, God has put me here for
a
something.
Purpose. Yeah.
And what that something is, I really don't know. I still haven't figured it out. I don't know if I ever will figure it out, but maybe it's talking through this. Maybe I, you know, touch people's lives. I know I have. But God uses you to get to one. You know, sure. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It may just be that one person. And I'm not saying I was, and still not, I'm not the most Christian going guy, but I know one thing for sure. That without God, I wouldn't be here.
Right.
And I'm not trying to turn this in that direction by any means, but
that'd be fine.
If there are, you know, people out there with doubt, I would say, look at me, because I am a miracle.
Absolutely.
And I'm not even finished with my miracles. I'm not even finished with my story.
We're just halfway through.
3 or 4 weeks of recovery. The doctor wants to put me on a mild chemo pill and some in-clinic chemo, which is very mild. You know, it kind of makes you a little nauseous, but nothing like the other stuff. I had to let my eye and everything heal for 4 or 5 months before I could even think about, you know, what I'm going to do. Because they took part of my leg. It's called a skin graft. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Took part of my leg, lined the inside part of my eye, the skull. So that skin took and it's created new skin growth. And once everything healed up in there, I could start looking at what I'm going to do. You know, how am I going to live the rest of my life? And at first it was just, you know, eye patches. And I like the eye patch, you know.
Your little rugged look.
Oh, yeah, you know. And I still wear an eye patch every now and then. But the only bad thing about that eye patch is I got a big, big hole in my, you know, in my face. Going down into my sinus cavities and what have you. So I'm constantly, like, breathing in everything, even though I got that patch over me. The doctor tells us there's nowhere around that's going to do anything other than a stick-on, like a little stick-on eye. I'm like, man, there's got to be something. Got to be something, because whenever you just put a stick on eye and you sneeze, you think about all your air is going to go out and blow your eye out. And, you know, there's got to be something there. So my mom, like, does all this research. And if, well, you know, my mom,
she's an intense lady.
Yeah. She's going to find out the answers.
Yeah. No leaf left unturned.
And she's one of the reasons I'm here right now, because she found out the answers, you know, between her and my sister. And I'm not saying my dad didn't, because I mean, he was right there with us through the whole thing. But he had to stay and continue his job in order to put me through all this, these treatments and stuff. But he was right there for everything. I know I hadn't mentioned him, but that much. But without my dad, what I'd do. But anyways, back to my mom. She's searching. Mm-hmm. She's on this thing called the internet.
Right.
You know, just looking. Finally, she comes across somebody in Arkansas that specializes in facial reconstruction. And you think, like, facial reconstruction surgery or something. No, this is like, man, they do hands, they do noses, ears, eyes, eyeballs, feet. I mean, you name it. These people are talented. They're artists.
Yeah.
So they make it out of some kind of silicone or something, I guess. I'm not real sure. But so she found these people on the internet. And we call them. We drive up there and or over to Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas, and meet these people. And they're like, yeah, this is what we're going to do. They showed us eyes that they have done in the past. And so here we are. It takes a week to make this eye. So they go in, they pour a form. Like, you ever been to the dentist where they form your teeth or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like a clay. Anyways, they pour that into your eye socket and they have toothpicks hanging out like to pry it out. You talk about a scary thing, man.
I bet.
I didn't know if they were going to get that out of there because whenever they poured it in there, you know, it goes down your sinus cavity and what have you. But anyhow, they got it out. Here we are off to the races making this eye. And it comes out. They go and they paint. They hand paint your eye. This eyeball. And then they hand paint your skin to where, I mean, you can contest to it like, it matches perfectly.
Yeah.
A week later, I've got a prosthetic eye. So I finished my chemo treatment the week before we get married. Got my new eye. We're going. I'm the man. So we get married. And during all this, y'all, all the doctors said, you know, you can't have any kids because of all the chemo and all the radiation and all that. It just, it kills everything. Yeah. I mean, it's chemicals going in you. They said, you're not going to be able to have kids. And so we, you know, we planned on not being able to have kids the natural way, but maybe fertility or whatever, because we had kind of planned for that. So we were 6 months into married, and she wakes up one morning and she's just sick, man. It's like, man, what's wrong with you?
Stomach bug.
Yeah. You want to stay away.
Yeah.
And it just kept on. Like, kept on. And I was like, you pregnant? She's like, no, there's no way. I was like, yeah, there's no way. So we go and get a pregnancy test just to see, you know. Sure enough, she was pregnant.
Wow.
So you talk about miracles. I was talking earlier about I'm a miracle being here.
Yeah.
My kids.
Yeah. Let's okay. Say, let's go kids, ahead and add an S on there.
Yeah.
Let's three. Hold it up.
Three miracles. So I'm not only a miracle. I have three healthy.
Yeah.
Girls, pray for me.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, this whole side needs prayer regarding
ain't that.
That's
the truth, man.
Buddy, we couldn't buy one.
I guess
a boy.
It runs deep in the family.
We couldn't buy one, buddy.
Sure couldn't.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, I've got an 11-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 4-year-old, just as healthy as can be, involved in everything. And
thank the Lord for that.
Amen. just. I mean, 14 years ago, if you would have asked me where I'd be today, I sure didn't think that I'd be where I am. Honestly, I was just so blessed. I like the word blessed, but it's not, it's something more. I mean, it's, you mentioned grace.
Yeah.
You know, I love that word. I don't know. I owe it to the good Lord, ultimately.
If there's anybody that's been given opportunity and mercy, I mean, you've been given it, and man, that's just powerful and impactful. Because when we think about grace and mercy, it's unmerited. I mean, right. you didn't do anything to deserve the cancer, but you also didn't do anything to deserve the mercy that was given.
Amen. Yeah.
But so thankful that you did, right?
Yes, sir.
So thankful.
So thankful. And, you know, it brings us back. You say mercy. Why me? So I've always, and I don't know the answer, and I never will. One day I will. But I've always struggled with that. And that's just a tough thing to talk about, really. Why? We can't answer, you know?
Well, let's tie it together. I'm sitting here crying. I'm not ashamed of that because no, I'm fun. Just, I guess the emotion for me is just thinking about how good God is and how good. You're not supposed to be here, Bubba.
I know.
It was a point I didn't think you would be. I think that's why I'm crying. I'm just happy.
Yeah.
I'm happy that we have this opportunity to do this. I'm happy that the doctor said you wasn't going to make it. You made it. The doctor said you wasn't going to have kids. You got three beautiful kids. So let's tie it up like this. Let's close this thing down. You've had a life experience that not many people have. You went from the darkest of times to a bright place, to a place of blessing, a beyond blessing. We don't even have a word for it. You said that. What's the takeaway? What would you, if there's somebody that's still with us, they went all the way to the deep end, an hour into a podcast, life lesson, encouraging word, how do you close it out?
Live every day like it's your last. I mean, that, I know you've heard that from hundreds of people. Don't take things for granted. Because I did. I took a lot of things for granted. And this really opened my eyes. My eye.
No pun intended.
Yeah. Sorry. It changed my life in more ways than just physical. It brought me closer to God. It made me cherish things that I took for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my biggest takeaway from this is I was just a healthy kid living the best life, taking everything for granted. I thought I was invincible and then got hit with this just over and over. Live every day like it's your last because you're not guaranteed tomorrow.
Nope.
Love on your kids, man.
Sure.
Because what I saw at that children's hospital, that could be our kids.
Right.
You just never know. You just don't know, man. So hold your kids, love them. I'm not saying don't get onto them.
But love them.
But love them. Let them know you love them.
Well, brother, I appreciate you sharing the story. I know that you've encouraged at least one person. I guarantee you want to encourage a whole lot more. And that's why when we talked about this several weeks ago, I said, we storytelling. I said, and you the most miraculous, greatest story maybe that I've ever experienced. Now, it's not funny.
Well,
yeah, we have a lot of funny.
But man, it'll encourage you if you'll let it. And because you truly, I say this, and I asked my wife, should I use the miracle word when I'm talking about this whole thing? And she didn't even hesitate. She said, Chase is a miracle. So when you say the word miracle and you together, absolutely valid. Well, I hope you've been blessed by this. Encouraged, given hope, whatever it may be. But this is Chase's story, and this is the Hayden Outbound Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Chase.
We'll see you next time.